Okay. Well, we are going to continue our study here in the life of the life in the body of Christ, the privileges and responsibilities in the local church and in church membership. And the topic tonight is missions. Missionaries, as well as mission trips. It begins on page 121 in the book, and we'll briefly look at the book, and then I'll introduce our guest tonight, as he will kind of let us know some things that we are doing as the as an association and a network of Baptist churches. But as I usually do on Sunday evening, I will briefly throw it up. If you got any questions or discussions about this morning that y'all want to talk or bring up before we get into our topic tonight?
Deep.
Huh? Okay.
What's the difference between hell and Hades?
That is a good question, but in Revelation it talks at a time death and Hades will be thrown into hell, and so hell would be the eternal state. And so as of yet, I would say there is no one in that eternal realm, but there is a place for the unbelieving dead that would be, you know, hell. I mean, Hades, we would still say hell or Gehenna. There's several different terms, but you might say that they are in holding, waiting for the judgment, and then they would be cast into that eternal realm. And so it is, as we know from the account of the rich man and Lazarus, you know, Hades, or that realm of the dead that are unredeemed. It is a place of torment, but it's not the final place. Just as the saints in heaven, they are enjoying the bliss of heaven, but it's still not their final estate until the resurrection. And so we are all awaiting that final estate, and that won't happen until the resurrection and the judgments. But I don't know if that makes sense. If I remember correctly, I believe it in Revelation it says that the beast and the false prophet would really be the first people, and they are cast alive into hell, and then eventually death and Hades would be thrown into hell. But just like the heaven now is not the final heaven, the new heavens, the new earth, in fact, the new Jerusalem will come down to earth, you know, when the Lord makes all things new. And so the saints in heaven still aren't enjoying what the final estate, even for the redeemed, are, because they do not yet have their redeemed bodies. Anything else? That's a good question. I don't know if I have the answer to it. You know, there's a temptation for preachers to preach more than they know. And when you don't know enough, you say it with gusto. You don't make it sound like you know. But anyway, that's a great question. Anything else before we look at our time tonight? Okay, well, we'll just... as far as where we're at tonight on missions, missionaries, and mission trips, and we do have a special guest here tonight, Dr. Marco Walters, who is the associational mission strategist for our association, or the Metro Baptist Network. And I'm going to go ahead and kind of kick off the discussion, and I'm not going to take all of his time, but just kind of get it going, and then I'm going to pass it off to him, and that way we can kind of hear what he has to say about what we're doing as an association of churches, and so maybe some things that we can be involved in. And I'll just go ahead and start off and just read where this chapter starts off in Acts 13, verses 2 and 3. And here it is where the church in Antioch is sending off the missionaries. It says, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. And so after they had fasted and prayed, they placed their hands on them and sent them off. And why don't we have a word of prayer, and then we'll talk about this. Our Father, Lord, we thank you for loving us, for redeeming us. And we thank you for the work that you have put into our hand, and in telling those around us about the work of redemption that your Son accomplished in our behalf. Lord, through your Spirit, encourage us tonight in the things that we are to be about as your people, and encourage us to be faithful to that task. And I pray it in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, this chapter kind of kicks off talking about just this early missionary work in the book of Acts that is recorded for us, essentially putting into action the commission that our Lord gave his disciples upon his ascension, that we are to go into all the world, we're to make disciples of all nations. Our Lord has been given all authority in heaven and earth, and he has sent us out to make disciples, to baptize and to baptize those disciples, and he has promised to be with us in that endeavor. And one of the things that the author here has trying to encourage us in is when we're thinking about missions and evangelism, that this is something that we are to be a part of, you know, as a church. It's all of our individual responsibilities to have some part in this. He talks about this is not just for professional missionaries that we are just to pass off for others to do, that the mission enterprise of the church is a responsibility for every church member, and every church member should have a part in missions and evangelism. Our Lord, we're to go into all the world, but we're also to go around the block, you know, and so we are to saturate the world in which our Lord has placed us. And so all of us have a part, have a responsibility to, in some way, to use the gifts God has given us in a missions and evangelism enterprise. He talks about different ways to go about this, you know, whether they're short-term mission trips or I don't know, you know, y'all got to want to throw anything out about maybe your experience in some of that. He also gives a list in beginning on 122 of a do's and a don'ts list. I found that a little bit intriguing on some things to help motivate, and kind of a checklist when you're doing missions and evangelism. And you can tell from, if you've read the chapter, where this is a church, you know, sending out a missionary from that church. This is written from a Baptist perspective, but maybe it's not a Southern Baptist perspective because he doesn't mention the cooperative program and kind of the way that we do it. But it is very enlightening, some of the things that he gives for some do's and don'ts and how a missionary is picked and stuff like that. Any comment on any of that? On his do's or don'ts list? There were... Boy, y'all are just eager to speak tonight. So he does talk about, he's good on we're to be good stewards in how we fund our missionary enterprises. Until I pass it off here to Mark, I'll just go ahead and go down toward the end to some of these application questions for both groups and individuals. And he asked us to think about the mission work that our church is supporting or that our church is involved in. And I know that, you know, we're involved in a lot of things in our giving. And maybe could use some help in some of the things and what we're actually hands-on doing. But do y'all have any thoughts in that? He asked a question. He said, discuss your local church's mission program and what are some of the positives and what are some of the negatives, you know, about what we're doing here in our local context, you know, because, you know, we do support through the cooperative program, and so we're kind of passing that off to others, but it is good for us to be hands-on in the missions and our evangelism and sharing the gospel with those around us. Y'all have any positives or negatives that you want to bring up, that maybe, you know, some things that we're doing good and maybe some things that we need to improve on just here in our local context?
I think since COVID, many things stopped. And things we used to do with the youth and the neighborhood missions. And then when Margaret passed away, that, you know, in the middle of all of that, that made us hesitate. We hesitated our work.
Yeah, in fact, we were even talking about having a Margaret Missions emphasis, you know, because her heart was for this neighborhood. And she really just spearheaded a lot of that. I know we've talked about implementing just some things to kind of get us into the neighborhood, or how can we help this local community have this, you know, new opportunity with maybe this food distribution, and maybe having a day here that we can do that, just to reach out to some of the needy people within our community and even the staff. We've talked about maybe for our to consider for our anniversary project, maybe putting in a laundry. I'd heard, you know, some other churches doing that, and so that a way that you could have a ministry to the people just right around our block. And so I do think that those are some things that we could consider, and how we could be, you know, hands-on involved within the roads right around this local assembly. Y'all got anything else as far as a positive or a negative or something that you could say that, you know, we're overlooking something or,
Well, we give long distance when we take things to the mission for them to use, but that's not here.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's part of the, you know, it's a great thing, you know, as Southern Baptists, because we do cooperate with other churches, and we are able to be a part of things that a small assembly like us, we couldn't do on our own. But, just because we, you know, write a check and then have others do it, I don't think it absolves us of the responsibility that we still have something that we ought to be involved in. You know, this is still the calling for every Christian, to go to make disciples to those around us, and I think it's this chapter and this emphasis is just a good reminder of that we are all to be hands-on involved in some kind of a mission enterprise, some kind of an evangelism enterprise. That is what discipleship is. It's learning to live out our faith in every area of our lives, you know, whether that's not just here, but it's in our homes, in our work, and whoever we interact with, and how this, a church ministers to those, you know, around this facility.
Bible study, men's Bible study has kind of done that when they've had guests that just pop in.
Yeah, we do. There's been several of the homeless they know there's a meal, and so they'll come, and sometimes they'll stay for the Bible study. I wonder if we ought to put the meal after the study, because sometimes they'll come and eat and then they'll leave. But Well, I do want to leave the time for Dr. Walters to address us again. This is Dr. Mark Walters. He's what we used to call the director of missions, but he's the associational mission strategist the AAMS. But he's going to just come and talk to us a little bit about some of the work that he's doing, and some of the work that we are a part of, that we do cooperate with other churches in our association. And so please welcome Dr. Mark Walters. thanks for allowing me to be here. I have been in this role, just started my fourth year. It's hard to believe. But the association that many of you are familiar with is no longer the association that you were familiar with. Oklahoma City is now the 20th largest city in America. Did you realize that? We are the 20th largest city in America. We have at least 130 different people groups that live in Oklahoma City. We have a great opportunity, but I'll be frank with you. We are way behind where we need to be. If you haven't noticed, things have changed a lot. And there's not anything we can do about it. You know, if you don't like change, then I'm going to encourage you to do something, okay? I'm going to go on to metal for just a little bit here. Go home tonight and find a box of pictures and look at when you were 17, 18, 20 years old. And then go in the mirror and look. You know what that's called? That's called change. And here's the thing I want to emphasize. You can't stop it. The reality is we are in very, very different days. 60% of the people that live in Oklahoma are unchurched. We're in the buckle of the Bible Belt. We went to 10 o'clock worship at one of our church plants today in Mustang. And we got done we left about 11:15 and we went to Neighborhood Jam out there to have breakfast. And as we were leaving, we had to wait quite a while. And I told my wife, I said, you remember the days when you used to go to church and you'd get out and you'd go to lunch and you couldn't get in because everybody had been to church? Well, the problem is now nobody goes to church and it seems like very few do. And everybody is gone to eat on Sunday mornings. The reality is we have a ton of work to do. And let me help you understand what Metro Baptist Network is about. We have a strategy, and they asked me when I came in to help them develop a new strategy. And if you know about association missions, it used to be that we did a little bit of everything. And if the church didn't want to do it, the association would do that. Well, we're not able to fulfill that. We still do vacation Bible school training, those type of things. But there's a lot of the things we've done in the past that we're not able to do. And we've had to narrow our focus so that we can impact our city with the gospel. We are still in the process of seeing all of this strategy come about, because it's been a completely new structure, completely new bylaws, completely new way of going about things. Our mission and our vision is a healthy church for everyone. And we want to collaborate, cultivate and curate resources. That's what our job is, to help local churches like yours reach their community for Jesus Christ. Our three pillars, or no, there are pathways. Some of the guys would have corrected me by now. But our pathways are this: church health, pastor health, and community impact. Let me start with church health. Under church health, there are three areas that we are deeply involved in. And if you were to ask me our bread and butter is going to be for the future for the metro. It has to be church planting. We must plant more churches. One of the reasons is because of the sheet that you see right here. Because of all the different people that are coming to our nation. And by the way, if God sends them to us, He expects us to reach them, right? He expects us to. We had 1,000 Afghanis come 2 years ago in January. By God's providence, He actually sent a man that had been a pastor in Afghanistan. He's got an incredible story. And with the help with one of our churches, we now have an Afghani church that's running between 30 and 40 on the Lord's Day morning. You know that they're predominantly Muslim. God is sending people, so we have to figure out a way to reach them. So we're going to plant churches. Another reason is because we have so many of our churches that are dying. Just in the last 2 weeks, I've been helping two churches in the process of shuttering their doors. It's a sad thing, but it's a reality when that happens. And so we want to be able to plant more churches to help replace those that are closing. Plus, we need, many legacy churches are not going to last for a long, long time. So we need to go in and we need to plant churches in those areas. Because here's the thing. Many of those legacy churches were nothing but Anglo churches. And over the last 2-3 decades, and you guys are probably in that similar situation, you find yourself driving in Anglo church in a neighborhood where nobody looks like the church that's here. Doesn't mean that you don't have work to do, but the reality is the neighborhood has changed. So your strategies and what you must do to reach your neighborhood is much different than it's ever been before. And I didn't say it was easy, but it has to be done. Church planting, church revitalization / church replanting. There are opportunities for us to be able to go in a church that once was thriving. We go in and they have to be willing to help us or allow us to help them along with the local church. And by the way, Metro Baptist Network does not plant churches. Local churches plant churches. We come along and provide resources and help, and it's usually here. Oklahoma Baptist is not involved in the church planting game in Oklahoma. Several years ago, they got out of that, and NAM, North American Mission Board, is part of that. The reality is, in Oklahoma City, if there's going to be a church that's planted or a church that's replanted, it has to begin with a local church. And then North American Mission Board and Metro Baptist Network come along beside in many different ways. And one of them is financially, and you give financially to the association, and you help us to be able to plant new churches. God's blessed us, and we've got around $50,000 a year that we have in our budget. And right now we have 9 church plants that we're helping in the metro area. And the other thing is, there's been some properties that were given to us years ago that have been setting, and God, through His providence, has allowed us to sell those properties, and we have another $500,000 setting for us to be used to replant, to plant, and to start new churches in the metro. The other thing is church strengthening. Churches need to be strengthened. All churches need to continue to evaluate how they can do kingdom work better, more efficient, for the glory of God. Now, let me just make it clear.
The only way ministry gets done is not through money. Yes, it's a tool, but it takes people. People reaching people to bring the gospel. The second thing is, the pathway is church, after church health is pastor health. We believe that if you want a, have a healthy church, you have to have a healthy pastor. So we provide resources, we continuing education, we provide help for them, we provide coaching with Tall Oaks Coaching, and, there are several things that we're doing to help our pastors to be healthy. One of the things we're trying to do is build fellowship. The younger generation doesn't fellowship like we fellowship. They don't know how, they don't want to, they don't desire it any way, shape, or form. And so we're trying to figure out ways that we can get our young pastors together. And by the way, I'm on that bottom end of those old pastors that was in Metro Baptist Network. And so thing is, there's not many much older than me that here. I pastored for 25 years in the association before I take this role. I was at First Baptist Church in Nacoma Park. And served in the association for that for all those years. Actually, for 18 years, I rotated between two positions there, finance and personnel. I get off one, they put me on the other. I don't know why, but I guess it was preparing me for this job. So the other one is community impact. You know that down at the Stockyards, we have the Grace Rescue Mission, the Baptist Mission Center. We continue to do our work down there. Sorry, I'll get back over here so you don't have to do that. Homelessness is at an all-time high in Oklahoma City. The reality is my heart goes out to them, but I really don't know how we change that. I don't. We need to love them. Many of them have mental problems, difficulties. We can feed them. We can clothe them. If you give them money, hand them money, it doesn't help them. It doesn't help them at all. But we need to care for them. And we need to love them. And so we try to do that down in the Stockyards area. We've been there for years. Actually, this spring, we are celebrating 100 years at the Baptist Mission Center and 75 years at Grace Rescue Mission. So it's been there a long time. And as time goes on, we'll have to make some adjustments about how we do ministry there as well. We have the block trailers. Used to be called carts. We have two of them that you can reserve, and you can go into the communities, and you can set up bounce houses and popcorn machines and all of that, and you can have a great time of reaching the kids and as well as reaching the parents. And that's a resource. It's $50. There's a new change. You have to go to our website, and there you go to the website and you can reserve it, and you can pay for it there online as well. I want you to know that we are far behind in what we need to do. Sometimes I feel like I'm overwhelmed with it, And the thing is, the church is much slower to change than the culture is. The culture is changing, and the way things are done so much faster. And we have to discover how to do it. Now, we have to continue to preach the word and teach the word. We have to share the gospel. We have to go out into our communities. If you've noticed the old philosophy, and when you've heard this before, you all come, it doesn't work anymore, does it? People are not falling into the church. You have to be intentional, and you have to build relationships with people to be able to even have the authentic, there needs to be an authenticness about you, because people are so skeptical. And it's almost like you have to earn the right today to be able to speak into their lives and to share the gospel with them. So, we've got a lot of work to do. You see this sheet right here? We have almost 200,000 people out of 130 different people groups from around the world. So here's the reality. We're an international city in many, many ways. What can we do? Well, one of the things we have to do, we have to find these people. Let's take the Vietnamese here. That's the biggest population that we have, and 1.40% are evangelical. We have 12,375 Vietnamese here. We have a group, it's called International Community Church. Kirk Goss is the pastor there. Kirk used to be the missions pastor at Northwest for years and years and years. And they have been spending years trying to reach the Vietnamese population here. It's not easy. You can knock on a door, and as a matter of fact, they have ways of finding out where people are. We went one Sunday afternoon with them in the Asian district, and every home that we went to, there were Vietnamese. We found this. They're either Catholic or they're Buddhist. They were not receptive in taking our scriptures that we had, or even a video. Very few of them. One of them told us, we don't want to get confused here. Well, they're already confused, but you just can't say that to them. We have Japanese and we have Thai, Burmese. We've got a Bangladeshi church. We've got everything that you can imagine right here. And you notice they're not big, but there's enough to have a church. There's enough people to go after. And the thing is, you say, well, how do we go about this? I think it would take two or three or four churches to go together to say, hey, we're going to target this people group that God has laid on our hearts to reach. And that while you're trying to reach them, you reach everybody else that is around there as well. It's going to take work. One of the things that God gave me a message out of Nehemiah. I believe that the walls of the city are broken down. I really do. So what do we have to do? We have to rebuild them. And in chapter 1, 2, and 3 of Nehemiah, and I love Nehemiah, remember, the walls have been broken down for 140 years. 70 years earlier, the temple was rebuilt there in Jerusalem. But so it's been 70 years and the walls are still down. Nehemiah happens to be the cupbearer to the king. A divine appointment, and at the right place, at the right time, the king notices. And what happens is, number one, it has to start with a burden. God gave Nehemiah a burden. We need a burden to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The second thing we find in chapter 2 there is that God always provides the resources. Folks, we've got plenty of resources. We just need the people. And so God provided everything they needed. Those things that looked impossible, God provided them. And then the chapter 3 is, you notice that they go to rebuilding the wall and people from everywhere come together. and they worked together to rebuild the wall, and they rebuilt that wall in 52 days. Now, that's going to take us longer than 52 days to rebuild the walls of Oklahoma City. But we need God to give us a burden to reach our communities with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And the sooner we start, the better off we are. What questions do you have for me this evening? I don't know if I did what you wanted me to do or not tonight. What kind of questions do you have for me?
Do we still have a Korean Baptist church over on 23rd? I don't remember.
We do have one of the Korean churches. One of the other ones, by the time I got here, COVID had pretty much shut the door. And the pastor that had been there for, Pastor Jung, that had been there for a long time, he had a stroke. He had to go back to Korea. They sent another man, and here's the problem. They sent a man with nobody here from Atlanta without his wife, and he was 78 years old. And I finally told him after he needed help, I told him, I said, brother, best thing you can do is go back home to your wife. Be with your wife. And allow God. And the problem is the church where they're trying to pastor is just south of South Lindsay Baptist Church. Right there, it is in a neighborhood of all Hispanics. There are not any Korean people anywhere in that neighborhood. You would have to come north into Edmond before you could, or the Asian district, before you could ever be able to do that. And so we have to be very strategic too, where we're planting these churches.
We've had visitor, I think it's odd, last fall we had a young woman from Edmond, South Korean, and she visited and was
faithful,
very faithful until she returned at Christmas to visit her parents and said she may be there a while. And so we hear from her by text messages, but that's all I have.
Yeah.
And then another couple showed up and they live in the village.
Okay.
Not too far from here. And I thought, well, how odd after all these years, two South Korean. And I wondered why, because they both were found us by computer, and why they didn't go to that Korean church.
That there's another one here in the city. I'd have to go back and look at the address of it. But the one that was in south, right off of I-35, South Lindsay in that area, yes, it's had to close its doors. And I don't even know what they're doing with the building. I told him that he needed the documents because we owned it at one point in time and we sold it. The association sold the building to them. And probably in their documents somewhere it's supposed to come back to us. But that's another whole ball game. You know, that day it costs lots of money to own buildings, folks. You know that, don't you? It takes lots of money to do that. So if we get a church, we don't just put a church in there. We're strategic in putting a church in a building with a sponsoring church, because we need those churches to thrive, not just to go to occupy a building in those areas. So we have to be really strategic about that.
We have mostly Hispanic and Black, and we have done, in years past, we have done a lot of door-to-door. And we had a, what was it? You talked about it a while ago.
Blood party.
And since I've been here, it was a lot of work.
Yeah, and here's probably, you know, one of the things happens to be, we're going to find that churches that have buildings are going to have to share their buildings with other ethnicities to be able to reach them.
We tried that too.
It's hard. It's hard. It's really, really hard. We have almost 200,000 Hispanics. Now, when we say Hispanic, we automatically think of Mexican. No. We're talking from Puerto Rico, Guatemala, all of those areas, okay? There's a big percentage of Mexicans, but Hispanics, the problem is, too, they don't all get along. We have 17 Hispanic churches. I talked to Ever Barunda, who is our ministry partner that does the Hispanic work in the state of Oklahoma. He told me, he said, Mark, we need 50 new Hispanic churches in Oklahoma City. For that to happen, Anglo churches will have to get the burden to reach that because we don't have the Hispanic churches to be able to do that. There are a lot of Hispanic churches in Oklahoma City, but a lot of them are Pentecostal. And they're very, very small. We've got some really good thriving ones here, but that population is not going to decrease. It's just going to continue to build in the years and days to come. You take Southern Hills down on Penn. You know, that neighborhood's changed so much. They're sitting right in the middle of Hispanic neighborhoods right there. You just find it everywhere around us. And if they've come, we've got to figure out a way to reach them, don't we? And it's going to take churches working together to be able to do that. Any other questions? I don't have the answers. I'm just going to tell you. I don't have the answers. I marvel at the fact that God has me where I am because I figured I'd retire as a pastor. As a matter of fact, I really didn't want to be a DOM. And I'll keep that to myself. Why? But God said, this is what I want you to do. And so I have, and it's been a great thing for me. I'm learning new things every day, every week, new opportunities. But folks, we have a ton of work. And I'll close with this. What we've done for years is every church has built their own silo. Or let's put it this way, they've tried to create their own kingdom where they are. Okay? Folks, those days are gone. We can't continue to. We'll still have some of our larger churches. But I'm going to tell you, we talk about, man, we don't need any more church plants. Listen, you could put a church plant on every corner in Oklahoma City, a Baptist church, and all of us are going to reach somebody different, and we would never reach everybody. New church plants grow faster. They're younger. They do things different, and it's okay. I was telling him we went to a church plant today. They meet in a school. They've been going for 3 years. They probably had 100 that were there. There was not a one light on in the whole place except on the stage. And you wouldn't have heard the music that you heard. But you know what? There's people all around them that they're reaching with the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's a whole different day and time. I grew up in church, okay? I went to church, a Baptist church, 9 months before I came into this world. And I've been in a Baptist church ever since then. I still believe that we have much to do. But our world is desperately lost. And we must figure out ways that we can get out of our comfort zones and how we can reach our community. We've got to think outside the box. Never compromise the gospel message. And you must continue to preach the word, Pastor, and I know you do, week after week after week. I sit across the table from one of our entity heads here in the state of Oklahoma Friday for lunch. And he told me, he said, Mark, it seems like we don't have pulpiteers like we used to have. And I looked at him and I said, we don't. I tell you why. He said, because there used to be a day when if you had a great preacher, people would come and listen to the great preacher preach the word, and that's all the tool you needed for church growth. Those days are gone. You need a pastor that will preach the word, but you know what you're needing more than anything this day and time in churches? Is leaders. Leaders that have a vision to reach their communities, to share the gospel, to do those things, but just being able. Remember when you used to have Sunday school and the statistic was 2 out of every 3 people that came to Sunday school would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior? That doesn't happen anymore. You know, it just doesn't. The front door of the church is no longer small group. They are a vital, vital point. And if you reach people, you need to get them plugged into small groups. But the front door this day and time is worship.
So you mentioned small groups. What do you hear about small groups that meet in homes?
Some of them work well. When we talk about small groups or connect groups, it is still the idea of Sunday school being done. And the reality is we left Nakoma Park a year ago. They hired a new young pastor. He did not need me around. I don't need to be there in his way. I told him that. I would not do anything to hinder him. But we went to Choctaw first. They're experiencing tremendous growth there. We've lived in that community all these years. My wife has taught in Choctaw Nakoma Park School District for 26 years. One of the things that they are doing, people are moving to that area, and they're coming from California, and they're coming from New York. They're coming from everywhere, and they're plugging in. And you know what they're doing with them? They're starting new units or new connect groups at least 2 every 2 weeks. Still idea. That's where you connect with people. That's where you love on people. That's where you fellowship with people. But that's where you study God's word together.
Now that's in homes?
No, that's in the building. In the building. Now there may be a few outside. Some of the churches do that, but I will tell you, these mega churches that have 3 or 4 worship services, and it's mostly, they're not doing a very good job with their small groups. They're really not. And you're not going to reach, but that's where the rubber meets the road. Reality wise. I mean, somebody just shows up on Sunday morning, they're not going to get plugged in. I mean, I'm a testimony. I'm a horrible church member these days. You know why? I'm in one of our 170 churches just about every Sunday, and sometimes I help them for 2 or 3 weeks till they get an interim as their pastor leaves. I do that type of thing. Now I send my tithe, and they like that. You know that they're good Baptists, but people that don't get involved in small groups just slip in and slip out, and that's it. We need community. We need each other. And it may look different, but the old idea of the Sunday school, still not a bad thing. Of reaching people with the gospel and making them belong and plug in. What are the questions? Are we over time? We are. I appreciate you allowing me to be here this evening very, very much. If you have any questions, let me know. If there's anything we can do for you, anything we're missing, call the office there. But we're trying really hard to work with our churches, to encourage our churches, because we don't exist without the local church. And I'm here to serve the local churches in any way, shape, or form that I can. And I enjoy it and I love it. And just thank you for allowing me to be here this evening.
Well, thank you for coming and sharing with us that we are to be busy about the kingdom work and the stuff God has put in our hands to do. Because he's given us all something to do and to be involved in as his followers. And fellowship, you're talking about community groups, and fellowship is a major aspect of a church life. And we're going to have a little fellowship here in just a little bit. So I'm going to go ahead and close this in prayer to thank God and return thanks for the food, and we can go in there and just enjoy it and each other. So we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for our time this evening. We thank you for the work of your Spirit in our individual lives and in the life of this local assembly. And Lord, I pray that you would work within us, that we would be faithful to what you have called us to do, and that you would bless and prosper the work of our hands to the glory of your Son. And we thank you for the refreshments that we're gonna have. Bless them, and as well as our fellowship with each other in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.